We're honored tonight to have Brother Cruz be the one that's going to be sharing the word, and I really appreciate what he and Sister Cruz have already added to our church family, and just such a blessing to us. And we're just going to open our hearts tonight to the word of the Lord and believe God that he's going to meet with us in these altars in a little bit. Amen. God bless you tonight, Brother Cruz.
Thank you, Brother Hurst. So good to be here tonight. I have to apologize. Last week, I was supposed to speak, but Kenneth preached Sunday, and I thought, man, he's a hard act to follow. No, I got sick. I mean, I was sick. I laid in the bed from Tuesday till Thursday. Didn't eat nothing or drink nothing. I was sick, but the Lord made me all better. Amen. So good to be here tonight. Amen. Mary Lou, she is away. She adopted a 58-year-old man. It was originally Brother Fraley's son, I think. Charlie's sick in the hospital. About a month ago, he had some colon surgery, and then he had a heart attack, and then he had another minor heart attack. Now his pacemakers keep shocking him, so they don't know what they're going to do. And she ended up somehow being his power of attorney, and so she thought she better run over there and kind of help him out a little bit. You know, y'all know Charlie. Most of y'all do, but so good to be here tonight. Wouldn't you like to see tonight a Holy Ghost given altar call? Amen. You know, it's summertime and camps is going on. What happens after camp is over? See, it's easy, Brother Hurst, to stay on fire when the fire is there. What do you do when the fire is gone? Amen. But I just want to tell you to be encouraged. Amen. In the Lord, keep on the firing line, amen. Keep the faith, don't quit, amen. I got this message, I don't know, a month or so ago. I was on my way up to Springfield to preach, and we was sitting at the corner, and I watched this. I believe he got off a bus, but to be truth with you, I don't remember seeing the bus. But anyway, this guy got off the bus, and he was a blind man, and I thought, if he ain't careful, he's going to end up stepping out in front of a car. And it wasn't long. I said, oh no, I don't know if I should go over there and help him, Brother Hurst, or not. I sit there and watched him. In a few minutes, he got that cane to carry and started poking it around. I don't know how in the world they can tell where they're going with that cane, but he got started back on the right track. And a thought come to me: we are filling our way to hell. How'd you get that out of that? Well, see, we're saved, but we got a lot of people that's turning around and going the other way. They're filling with the world. They're playing with the world. And it amazed me that how he got that cane and started feeling around and found their track where he needed to go. And I just don't know how they do it. I don't. I guess if I ever got blind, I could learn. But I just don't see how in the world he picked up a note where he was going and knew where his house was. I don't know. I guess they trained him, I don't know, to count their steps or something like that. But that's how I got this message tonight. Amen. And I apologize to y'all back there. I didn't tell you where I was going to. I'm going to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Church, our world is in sad shape. Or let me rephrase that. It's not our world, it's the people in the world. We're in sad shape, and we're losing people. We're losing good Christian people. People who used to believe the way the Bible tells you to believe no longer believe that way. And to me, church, if it was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong today. I don't care how you look at it. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. And you know, just being good, if just being good was going to get us to heaven, there'd still be a lot of people in trouble. There's a lot of people being good, but they don't know about the grace of God. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, in Exodus, let me lay a foundation here. In Exodus, we know about the Ten Commandments, right? Hello? Is anybody out there? Well, I mean, the first things we usually learn when we're growing up is the Ten Commandments in the Lord's Prayer. Hello? Do you realize that I better get my glasses on here. Well, you know, in Exodus 1 through 17, you can read about the Ten Commandments. But I want you to realize something. I'm sure you realized this before, but the first four was set forth for the relationship of man to God. And then the other six was set forth for man-to-man relationships. And, we got people, Brother Hurt, that can't even follow them. And this is the true word of God. This is what God gave Moses. He actually wrote these himself. And you can read that in Exodus 30 and 18. They was written by the finger of God. Think about that for a moment. So for those that do it, to know it, to do good and do it not, what? It is sin. So that's what I'm saying. See, just being good ain't going to get it done. We can't even follow the Ten Commandments. Hang with me and we'll get out of here, all right? By the way, it's no mystery I'm preaching. I got a tie on, okay? It's funny how people pick up on that. Amen. All right, stand for a moment, if you will. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, beginning with verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You may be seated. Again, I like to preach tonight with the help of God, with the help of the Holy Ghost, and I hope the Holy Ghost come by tonight and make this altar call, because we need an old-fashioned altar call. We need a church that's going to be stirred and changed. You know, I thought Brother Hurst a few Wednesdays ago, I felt kind of bad because you asked three people to testify, and I didn't want to get in the way being a new rookie, you know. Being a new kid on the block, and I like to testify, and I thought, well, I'm just not going to get in the way. And it was just hard. Nobody else didn't seem like they wanted to testify, and I just sit there, and I should have testified, but I'm not one just to like to sit back. I like to move, amen. I like to talk about the grace of God. I like to talk about what God has done for me, amen, what he's done for my family, what he's done for the churches, amen. But I thought, you know, church, this is how I'm talking about. We're filling our way to hell. We've got the opportunity to serve God, but what are we doing with that opportunity? All right, I just read 3 and 1. Perilous times. What's perilous times? Perilous could also be translated as fierce or furious. Can you see that we're living in furious times? Can you see that we're living in fierce times? People don't care just to walk up and shoot you. People don't care just to drive by and shoot at your house. The devil don't care who he attacks. So we're living in perilous times, but we act like we're so unconcerned. Every day we pick up the newspaper, we turn the news on. But I want to look at this spiritually speaking. Brother Hurst, there's people day after day waking up, and, well, God didn't answer my prayer. I think I'll quit today. I mean, we've all been there. We've all done that. Lord, when Mary was diagnosed with cancer twice, Lord, what is going on here? But thanks be to God that we found our answer in prayer. We didn't give up. We didn't quit just because time was getting, fierce times. We're living in those times. How can we not be so concerned with our salvation, with the glory of God that wants to shine through us? Perilous could be translated as fierce or furious. It is used only one other time in connection with the demonics in the country of the Gadarenes, describing them as exceeding fierce. And you can read that in Matthew 8:28. Listen, the world will become increasingly violent and dangerous as end approaches. You know, I was sitting there, it was this bad now. It was, you know, how it was before I was even into existence. Now that I'm in existence and my kids are in existence, what's it going to be for our grandkids? Come on, church. You know what we need to do? We need to take America back. Let me pause for a thought. Come to me today or yesterday, I forget when it was, but our politicians, if you please, are leading America into hell. Ooh, did you say that? Yeah, I said that, because look at what they're allowing to do, or allowing people to do. They're saying we can't praise God, but they're saying they can do this that's contrary to the word of God. Hello? Perilous time. Now, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This catalog of characteristics of the dangerous last days begins with what is essentially a definition of modern humanists, lovers of their own selves. Look, we get so much pride in ourselves. Look what I've done. Look what I do. You know, we haven't done it unless God gives us the ability to do it. Even the sinner cannot walk in the house of God without being allowed by God to do it. We ought to raise our hands and praise God and thank Him, amen, that He allowed to be alive one more day, amen. The entire list seems peculiarly descriptive of the emphasis of attributes of modern evolutionary humanism. Furthermore, these characteristics seem to be a duplication of ancient pantheistic paganism, as outlined in Romans. See, I can't get all these scriptures in here, so if you want to write them down and look at them later, in Romans 1:29-31. Except that the characteristics listed here in Paul's letter to Timothy seem to be developing within a framework of the professing church rather than the pagan world. You ever heard the saying, you know, the church is getting worldly and the world is getting churchy? It's not that way. The world is getting more worldly and the church is getting worldly, amen. I'm telling you, church, we need to get back to the biblical way of things, the biblical doctrine, and let the Holy Ghost have its way, the way that He sees fit. The only way we can take America back is on our knees in the Word of God, amen. We're going somewhere in a minute. In other words, there will be little distinction between the secular world, and I don't like this word religious world, but that's what I put in there, religious world in the last days. You won't be able to separate them. You can see that now. I remember, Brother Hurst, when I was growing up, the devil didn't used to come in the house of God. He wasn't allowed in the house of God. Can I tell you now? He's coming in and sitting right beside us. He's coming in and getting in our platforms, amen. I tell you, church, if it's ever a time we get back to the Word of God, get back to the knowledge of God, get back to the wisdom of God, get back to reading the Word of God, it's the day and time which we're living now. You know what the world needs? We need a Holy Ghost revival to break loose, amen, and last till Jesus comes back, amen. Shake us up, Lord. Shake us up, Lord. We're living in the very last days, young people. What are you doing to make a difference in your schools? What are you doing to make a difference in your homes, amen? Also in verse 2, Covetous is idolatry. Idolatry, you know, worshiping of idols, the worship of money, the money god, Mammon. Luke 16:9. Read it. The Greek word here, and if you know, I'm not a Greek theologian, or I'm not even a theologian as far as that goes. I can't preach unless the preacher come. Amen.
I don't know these big fancy words. I just don't, amen. But praise God, is used for covetous means money loving. 1 Timothy 6 and 10 and Ephesians 5 and 5. Also in verse 2, it said something about being proud. I mean, you know, we need to be a little proud, but not to the point where it's excessive pride, amen. Sure, I'm proud of my children, but I'm proud of them because that's where God put them. God blessed them, amen. Hey, that's my kid. Why is that my kid? Because God blessed me with that kid. I'm proud of the way my kids turned out, amen. If it wasn't for our little church over there when we was pastoring, they may not have been that good. Brother Hurst, but you, this church, this school that they used to have, had a lot to do with the way my kids are. Thank God for people who cares. Hello, church. Thank God for people who pray. Thank God for people who worship God in the true way of holiness. Amen. Proud, humanistic pride. Whether of riches, intellect, physical strength, beauty. You see it all the time. Phew. Huh? You are what you are because God made you that way. That's the only reason you ought to be proud, amen. We got, well, never mind. Huh? Listen, intellect, physical strength, beauty, position. You know, we're in the position because that's where God allows to be. You know, I'm telling you, Mr. President, you're in the position where you are because God allowed you to be there, amen. I wish he would stop and realize that anytime God wanted him out of the way, all he has to do is speak the word, amen. You are what you are by the grace and the power of God. Can I tell you something, church? We need to take America back. We need to take our churches back. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to move the way that it sees fit to move, amen. Hey, thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me yet? Huh? Listen. Or anything else is the sin of the devil, 1 Timothy 3 and 6, eventually leading to self-worship. Look what I did. Look what I did. Look at all the money I made. Excuse me, billionaire. You didn't get that way by yourself. Huh? God had a hand in it somewhere along the line. I guarantee that. Hello? Hello, we ain't done nothing, church, unless God gives us the ability to do it. Amen? All right. Listen. Eventually leading to self-worship as well as self-love. Verse 3. Without natural affection. The implication is that their affection is unnatural. In Romans 1:26 and 27, evidently a great and dangerous increase of perverse sexual behavior will characterize the last days. Can you see in the paper what's going on? And you know, the last days, I mean, this was told a long time ago. Back in biblical days, if that was the last day, just think how much closer to the last days we are. I don't know when the last day is going to be, but help me, Lord, to be ready. Help me, Lord, to be worthy. Help me, Lord, to praise you. Help me when I leave here, leave with the praise in my heart and joy in my soul. Amen. Chapter or verse 3, also, truce breakers, translated implacable, Romans 1 and 31. The etymology of the word suggests people who refuse to make or honor treaties or agreements. Hey, you ever heard this? Lord, if you save me, I promise I'll serve you. Lord, if you heal me, I promise I'll serve you. Where are they at? Where are they at? They broke a pact with God. Huh? Made a promise. If you heal me, if you save me, or if you you know, bless me financially, I'll serve you. Where are they at? Where are they at? And you heard this, Brother Hurst, you heard this. I thank the Lord for saving me. I'm going to stay saved. Where are they at? I'm telling you, church, if we ain't careful, we'll be feeling our own way into hell.
It's time that we wake up and realize that our God is coming back after a blood-bought chosen few. Who's he coming back for? Those that are ready. Those names that are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those without spot or wrinkle. Amen.
Hello. Listen, I'm going to be down here in a few minutes. In contentment, verse 3. The Greek for incontinent, akrates, means without strength. In context, powerless to do right. That devil will not let you do right. You're either going to do good or you're going to do evil. There's no two ways about it. Huh? Who was it? It was a Baal, wasn't it? It said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Church, we're living in the latter days, huh? Feeling our way to hell. Verse 4, traitors. This word was used of Judas in Luke 6 and 16, who betrayed Christ, suggesting that the latter day church harbors many Christ betrayers. Chapter 4, high-minded, just puffed up. Verse 4, lovers of God, one only need compare the number of pleasure seekers on the Lord's day to the number of people in church. Where are they at? Pleasure seekers. I told them the other day when I preach this same message over in somewhere over there, Lewisburg, I think it was. And I said, you know what? Some guy I know bought a boat, rode on it visitation. That was the title of the boat. He said, where you been? I've been on visitation. You know, that's probably a good idea, but the sad thing is, God sees you. God seen him. He ain't fooling nobody but himself. And see, that's the way we are. We think we're getting by, but we're not. Having the form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Denying the power. These last days, humanists will have a pseudo religion, a false religion, but will deny its power, its supernatural aspects, creation, miracles, second coming, heaven, hell. Their description would apply specifically to religious humanists, to the liberal theologians who dominate the mainline denominations, to modernists and to most New Age cultists. We got it in the platforms. Amen. God forbid that we should ever sit under a preacher that's not preaching the true word of God. Amen. It can happen to any of us, but the only way it can happen is by the grace and the power of God. Look at the saga of Jim Jones. I understand he was a great Pentecost preacher. I don't know much about him. I never did much study about it. But led all those peoples astray. If we don't know the word of God, church, we can be led astray. I'm telling you, we're feeling our way to hell. It's like that blind man. He's about to step off the curb in front of a car. And that's how it is with our Christians. We've got what we need from above, but yet we're throwing up our hands and quitting. Young people, don't never give up. Don't never give up. Don't never give up. Keep the faith. Amen. Amen. Mama don't go, you go anyway. Papa don't go, you go anyway. Amen. And then what I was just talking about a few minutes ago, 2 Peter 3, 3 through 6. Now, last but not least, and I'm closing here shortly. I told you I would. Verse 6, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Silly women. The Greek word for silly women is the diminutive of the word for wife or woman. The concept is that a false woman, a woman who, as a persuade old woman, but false woman, I'll put it that way so we understand, a woman who minimizes her feminine nature. Not only is it women, but it's men as well. Huh? What in the world? Seeking to be something she was not created by God to be. Not only women, but men as well. I want to take you back a few moments before I go on here to, I think it's Genesis 18 and 23, where Abraham is talking to God. And it's about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, God, I'm just using my own words, okay? If we can just find 50 righteous here, will you spare the city? Brother Hurst, I wonder what it would be if God came down here and said, hey, can I find 50 in your church and I'll spare it? If he can't find 50 in his church, there's something wrong, because Brother Hurst preaches the word of God. We'd be in trouble, amen. But anyway, he went on down, and you know, 45. Okay, if I find 45, I'll spare it. If I find 35 or 40, I'll spare it. If I find 35, I'll spare it. If I find 30, I'll spare it. If I find 20, I'll spare it. Then he drops down to 10. Why 10? Because I believe that's how many was in Abraham's family. 10. And okay, if there's 10, I'll spare it. But finally, he warns him, get your family out of here. I'm going to destroy it. Can I tell you, I believe this. Our world is like Sodom and Gomorrah, if you please. Let me say this. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to. We was over to a restaurant the other day. And I never quite seen it like this. Now, it makes some of you ladies jealous, because this old boy had his eyebrows waxed. I mean, he was slick. Brother Hurst, and you usually don't see two people of the same sex at a restaurant sitting on the same seat. Uh-oh. And the next thing I know, he's getting closer and closer to this dude. I thought, oh, how sickening. I thought, oh, man, I wish the manager would come by and move them out or move me out of the way or something. But I sit there, and Mary said, don't say nothing. All the time, my face, you know, the ex-Marine coming out of me too. I didn't say a thing. Me and my sister-in-law talked. And the Bible says Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I mean, that's what we wanted to say, and we kind of said it a little loud maybe, but anyway, it wasn't long till I looked up, and this old boy was putting a big old smooch on this other man. I thought, oh, God! I thought, oh, Lord, I see what you're talking about. We're living in the last days. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Senator. Thank you, Mr. Congressman. That's what I'm saying. Our politicians are leading America to hell. We're living so close to the end of time. I remember the one politician, I forget what he was, a senator or a congressman, I don't know, but he spoke out against it, Brother Hurst. Then he found out his son was that way. That don't make it right. You can still love him, but you don't have to back that. But anyway, it was gross, man. And I believe this is the last days. Mary said, don't you say nothing when we go out. She said, you go before me. I said, no, you go on. The old flesh wanted the body slam. And I wanted to ask the manager, would he ask him to leave? But I knew he couldn't do that, because it would be, you know how that goes. You know the statutes and things we got nowadays. You really get in bad shape. You really get in bad trouble. So I just left it alone. But I thought, man, if they come over and say something to me, that's it. But anyway, Mary, I walked out behind Mary Lou, and she said, don't say nothing. I said, that is so gross. I was trying to paint a picture. Hey, man, that ain't right.
Brother Hurst, I mean, if that's what they want to do, why don't they keep it in their own doors, amen, behind their own doors? I don't want my grandkids seeing this sick stuff, amen. I'm telling you, church, we're living in the last days. We're feeling our way to hell, amen. And the only way we can change it is to find God, get on our knees, ask for revival, amen. I'm closing.
Ever learning, verse 7. Where's Trish? She can come to the piano. Oh, go ahead, Trish. It's awkward not having Mary here. This is the precise emphasis of modern intellectual educators. They say there is no absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the what? The way and the truth. Church, there is absolute truth in Jesus Christ. Amen. Huh? They also contend we must continually be searching for truth but can never really find ultimate truth and should never make such a claim. Can I tell you, He is truth and He is life. You want to live in a sin-sick world? I mean, we can't change the world, Brother Hurst, but that don't mean we have to do it. We can be a difference. We can be a difference. Just living holy, being holy, amen, we can make a difference. Young people, choose you this day whom you will serve. We're living, church, in the very last days. And not only young people, but it's up to us older folks to teach these younger folks. What have we done lately to teach them? What have we done lately to teach them? I told him, I says, if Kenneth was that way, if Rachel was that way, I'd love him, but I wouldn't back it. I wouldn't back it. I believe, Brother Hurst, right now, the way the world is, we're no better off than Sodom and Gomorrah was. Church, we're feeling our way to hell. And you're the only one that can change that by the grace and the power of God. Let's all stand. I wish that we could walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, but we can't. There's going to be trials. There's going to be battles. There's going to be temptations come our way. And only you can say no. Only you can say, God, I want more of you and less of the world. What about it tonight? What about it tonight? Anybody want to make a difference? Anybody want to make a difference? Anybody want revival in their heart? Lord, I want revival. Let it start with me. Let it start with me. Let it start with me. Amen. I think what we need to do, we need to get our feelings stick out. Huh? Lord, am I going the right way? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's danger. There's danger. I sense there's danger. Huh? Spiritually speaking, get our spiritual sticks out. Huh? Huh? From the least to the oldest. Anybody want to come? Anybody want to grow closer to God? Anyone want revival in their heart? Anybody want to make a difference in this world? Hallelujah. Come on, come on. We can make a difference, church. We can make a difference. We can make a difference through the Holy Ghost. Lord, let the Holy Ghost reign in His building tonight. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come by and saturate each and every individual. Lord, move in this building tonight. God, give us a closer relationship. Give us a closer walk. Give us a closer walk tonight, Lord.